Hey, listen up. We got another episode of Wisecracks, featuring the crack man himself, Bill Krakenberger, and our co-host, John Orlando, straight from Las Vegas. Wisecracks is your ticket inside the world of sports betting, with tips, picks, special guests, and more, only on WSN.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Wisecracks. I am John Orlando, and I have the great Bill Krakenberger with me, as always. Bill, I haven't seen you in, I don't know, 10 hours.
10 hours, yeah. We had a nice dinner last night. Yeah, good. Good to be back. Back in my home studio. And eventually we'll be together in a studio once in a while, so I look forward to that. Should be fun.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about that restaurant last night real quick that was, I don't know, 6 minutes from where I live, and I've been here 4 years and never knew it. How is that possible?
Yeah, it's a local mom and pop joint, which I like to support anyway.
Yeah.
And that place is actually really good. It's called Tuscany Grill up on Eastern, up almost by Anthem Country Club up that way. Kind of a little bit of a drive for me, but I'll drive for good food. You know, I met that guy, the two guys that own it, but I met the one guy over at the Italian American Club, one of my other joints on Sahara that I like to go to. And Lou said, I own this place, Tuscany Grill. I came up there. I love the old school food. I love the old stories back and forth. There seems to always be someone tucked away in that room. Some of the old school guys, there has been a lot of the old bookmaker guys are always there. And last night we kind of sat next to some old school legends there, with Jerry Eisenberg and his wife and Hammer and Hank Goldberg also at the table. And there was another guy at the table that is a very well rounded sports bettor himself and a mover and shaker in this town. So,
and how crazy was that? You just sent me an email about Jerry Eisenberg like
the day before.
two days ago.
Wow. Yeah. I just sent you an email about him turning, 91, and he has a whole story there about his history, which I really liked. There's tons of stories on him. You got to remember, Jerry went to 53 straight Kentucky Derbies, I believe it is. He went to every Super Bowl except for the last one. He covered every Super Bowl for the North Star Ledger, and he's just a worldly guy. He's been all over the world covering boxing when boxing used to have its own. You know, it's funny. Every newspaper in America, some had two boxing writers that just handled boxing. Boxing and baseball were the two big sports, you know, in the 20s and 30s and 40s. So you have to remember that this was a big sport, even up into the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
It just that other things came along, some major sports. And, you know, of course, here in the last decade, the UFC. And so boxing is not what it used to be. They got rid of all the boxing writers, but there's still some good old school guys like Jerry that cover a lot of things. I mean, the guy gave the eulogy at Muhammad Ali's funeral.
That's incredible.
Talks to George Foreman all the time. He was in the locker room of the New York Yankees so many times with the entire team. This is back in the 50s and 60s and, you know, throughout the, you know, Mickey Mantle and Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson. So he has some great stories, and we're going to get him on here one of these times. The first time he went out to eat in a long time last night, he said. So we're looking forward to getting him on here. And he's a legendary guy. He's written 14 books, I believe, also. So
wow.
Yeah. It was fun to see him and fun to just go out and have that old school food too, John. You see, you could tell when you have those old world things. The lady comes over, she buys you a soda. The owner came over and bought us our desserts.
Yeah.
It's just makes you feel special. It's nice.
Yeah, the food was fantastic. I'm a sucker for chicken parm. So
I
was very, very happy. You know, you mentioned boxing, and it's like when I hear you talk about it and this guy being so connected to it and Muhammad Ali and, you know, all those legendary fighters, it's really sad that boxing is not what it used to be. And I think that's because the promoters screwed it up, right? Is that why? Why isn't boxing big like it used to be?
The promoters that are involved and the Bob Arums of the world, these guys are worth so much money. I think he just sold out for, I don't even know. I know he was worth $500 million before that. So I think a lot of times the promoters are involved and it's not the sport it used to be. The judging sometimes is absolutely terrible. We've had some horrible judges over the last 25 years.
Yeah.
really has kind of ruined the sport. You see Teddy Atlas talking about it all the time. And, you know, it's so true. And, you know, listen, it's this simple. Yes, I'll go out on a limb and say this, I guess. You didn't see George Steinbrenner, former owner of the Yankees, taking out the umpires to dinner the night before, where you may see a promoter taking out the refs and the judges and the night before. Yeah. I mean, it's very, very unethical things that go on. And, you know, I've actually seen some really, really scary things. It's hard to bet any serious money on boxing the last 20 years. I'll say since the era, I'll even go back a little more and say maybe since the boxing time when Hearns, Leonard, area, you know, that some of the best boxing of all time.
Hagler, that was Hearns, the last Leonard. Of it.
Oh, that was the last of it. But then again, you know, even though they tried to rob Mayweather once in a while, he wouldn't let them. That was some sure money all along, him being unbeaten. And, you know, but even though there has been some fights Mayweather's been involved in, I was there when we had Adelaide Byrd. I gave like the fight a draw when other guys were given, you know, 8 rounds. I've seen some things like I think she quit after her husband, by the way, Robert Byrd is one of the refs, but
Still a judge. You know, she judges MMA. Oh, I thought MMA. That
she retired. Okay.
Maybe from boxing. She judges MMA.
Isn't that nice? Here's
on the wrong side of a couple of Jake Ellenberger fights.
I don't want to say she was corrupt.
She's just bad.
I want to say that she's just incompetent.
She has
given some of the worst decisions ever in the boxing world. And you know, she actually had a school where they actually taught the refs. Imagine that, to be taught under her under her tutelage of oh my God, it just
you can blow these calls too, you know.
Oh, it's sickening. It's so sickening, the things you've seen over the years. And I'm not just picking on her. There's been other refs other judges that have done much worse than her. I've been at some of the fights on the Friday night fights. I've been to some of the crowds where literally one judge had it minus. You know, one guy ahead by 8 rounds and the other judge had the other guy ahead by like 6 rounds. It's impossible. How can you see those rounds that different where someone has that kind of a swing? There's a lot of corruption, man, and incompetence and run rampant. I only say it was in my period. I'm sure it was back in the day, too, especially when the mob guys controlled boxing. But maybe it was just more a little hush hush back then. The boxing beat writers and stuff knew not to say too much or else they'd be in trouble.
I also feel like back in the day, like you had like there were so many big name boxers where now you can count them all on one hand. Where back then, like, you know, you knew you had Ali, you had Foreman, you had Frazier, had, you know, all these different Ernie Shavers. I mean, all these boxers that on any given day could put up a great fight and win. Where now I just feel like
we don't have that mega champ now.
It's like you know Canelo's gonna win.
Yeah,
right. Tyson Fury's gonna win
$300 million. I mean, for a bunch of fights, do you think he's gonna lose his third fight of the contract? You're right. You bring a Tyson Fury. I kind of like.
I love Tyson Fury.
Yeah, he brought a nice fun side to boxing too.
Yeah,
it missed some of that. The fans being entertained more. And let me tell you, he's a warrior. This guy fought versus someone recently, a German guy. I was at the fight, and he was like, Tyson Fury was 30-1. He got so cut in the first or second round, almost anyone wouldn't have been able to see through. He only fought with one eye the rest of the fight, and he actually went on to be victorious. This guy's fun to watch, so I can't wait for he comes back. We see things opening here in town now. They're announcing some big UFC card. Am I right over the summer? They've announced here in Vegas. Didn't it sell out in a couple of minutes?
Conor McGregor, the king is back. Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier are going to go for their trilogy fight. They're tied up at one apiece. Yeah, crack. I'll tell you, you know what I'm going to say. I always back the king. Bet the house. Conor McGregor will avenge that loss. Conor by KO round one or two. You heard it here.
I'm trying to look now. What is the odds on that fight?
That's a good question.
No, I just want that is the most important. Before you're saying bet the house,
something
you don't even know the odds on.
It doesn't matter because it doesn't matter.
This is wisecracks.
But here's the thing: It doesn't matter on this one. Connor's absolutely going to win. So
you say Connor's going to win. That last fight I watched, and I thought it was really one-sided, wasn't it? I mean.
Well, Connor looked good round one.
Yeah, but then
he took some leg kicks that were a little, took its toll on him.
Oh, really?
And, you know, but you also have to remember that Connor hadn't fought.
Oh, it's Pick'em. It's Pick'em. Wow.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's Pick'em. Yeah. Wow. You got to remember this. Connor hadn't fought in a couple years. And in boxing, you take a tune-up fight. In the UFC, there's no such thing.
Okay.
So, you know, it is what it is. You know, you need to be in there. You need to be active to be good. And I think that last fight's just, that was his tune-up fight. He'll come back and he'll make the adjustments and he'll beat Dustin. You heard it's
here in Vegas, Saturday, July
10th. Yeah.
And, it doesn't say where it's being fought here yet.
I believe it's supposed to be at T-Mobile, but I heard from a little bird, they're actually trying to move it to Allegiant Stadium.
Wow. It's going to be that big, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but
is
I
the heard undercard it from a big good fight source. Here, John, the Burns and Thompson, or
yes, huge. So,
that's a big fight, right?
Yeah, Burns just lost. He just fought Usman a few months ago, and he lost. Burns is a monster, and Wonderboy Thompson, Stephen Thompson, has been hurt for a little while, and so he's coming back. He's in the top five in that division. He is a very dangerous man. That's a really good fight.
Minus about 145.
Yeah, I lean towards Burns, but okay.
Live dog. Good.
But I'm nervous. I'll say that. You know, I mean, Wonderboy is no slouch. Wonderboy was just on Joe Rogan. You know, he fought Jake years ago, Stephen Thompson.
Okay.
And Jake unfortunately lost the fight, but Stephen Thompson gave Jake props, and he said two of the guys that have hit him the hardest in his career, one was Tyron Woodley and one was Jake Ellenberger.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Jake knocked him down, almost finished him, and just somehow he just wasn't able to put him away. Yeah.
Right.
I was
right,
at the
right.
fight. It was crazy.
Hey, let's go back to last night. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
This is a spontaneous question. You don't know about this yet.
Yeah.
So I am a guy that was raised a certain way, I guess maybe from the Bronx or just an old school guy or just being around my dad. My dad was a guy who would go out to dinner, and if he didn't pay the check, he would get very upset. That's just the way it was. So I always like to jump and pay a check. Uh-huh. I heard something in the other room. There was three couples in the other room talking about a check, like talking about getting a check. And I overheard the waitress. I didn't even tell you I heard this saying, give us three checks in the next room. So I'm just trying to understand. John, I asked Matt, and who's my agent, my lawyer, after. I said, Matt, if you go out to dinner, and I mentioned two other guys that are, you know, very wealthy guys, and, you know, let's just face it, probably, you know, can go out to dinner for the rest of their life. It's not going to affect their life. Doing very well, 6-7 figure guys. I said, how does it happen? Because I just don't know the way it works. I have bought meals for almost everybody when I go out. I like doing that. I enjoy that. I'm not bragging about it. Yeah. I went out to dinner and Bob Arum was at my table, and he's worth $500 million. And he didn't reach. I reached. I'm the one that reached. So, but by the way, thank you to Piero's. Thank you to Freddie. He owns Piero's. He picked up that meal. But I did leave the tip. And, you know, you think a guy like Arum would leave the tip, but it's not what he does, I guess. Whatever it may be. I'm not trying to pick on Bob Arum. I'm just saying.
Sure.
So I wanted to know how it works with three couples if you go out to dinner. Matt told me the right thing. If I'm out with two other couples, we say divide it by three, and the three men divide the bill. That is the way we're supposed to do it then, I guess. I guess I've been doing it wrong for 45 years. But, yeah, and I'm sure your father, being an old school guy, back east guy, he probably reaches for the check, too, and pays the check all the time.
So I agree with Matt. It depends on who the other couples are. So if it's equal, meaning not all of your friends are in the same.
Absolutely. That's the reason why I do it.
Right.
Not that I'm bragging. I'm not saying that. But I like to pay because I feel that I'm probably the one that can afford to pay more than them. But right. But it doesn't matter. A lot of times I'll be buying guys that can buy and sell me meals also. So it just that's such a bad habit of mine that I'll just do it. And I say I do bad it too. Habit. It's not a bad habit. It makes me feel good.
Yeah. And it also depends on if who invited who, I think. So like if we were to invite two other couples or one other couple, let's say, and maybe, you know, work-wise, whatever thing, they're not in the same spot. And if I pick Piero's or some, you know, if you pick Olive Garden, fine, split it. But if I pick Piero, if I say, hey, come
out joint.
Right. If I pick some crazy place, you know what I mean? Where it's $100 a head or whatever, like it's not really fair, I think.
Put
that on.
You know, when I hear last thing about people splitting checks and stuff, though, I was like, wow, that's really the way it's supposed to work. So I'm going to have to do that and have to start. You know, I always tell people around me, I got the bill. Keep your record.
Right.
Clean. Yeah. That's my line. And I won't change because my father never changed.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, my father was definitely the kind of guy that would pay or wouldn't go out to eat. And he really couldn't afford to do that. Of course, with me in his life, the last 25 years, he could have, you know, he always had me. So he was rich.
All I know
internally is internally and outside, you know, externally.
Yeah. All I know is you have an eagle eye because I hadn't even my hand hadn't even. Slid into my pocket. Like it was just, you caught the shoulder. You must've seen this shoulder move and you're like, I got it.
Oh yeah. No, I seen that. I seen that. But then I realized you were going for your comb. I'm like, oh, he was going for his comb anyway. Jesus.
So there's no hair to comb anymore.
Oh, that's right. The bluff almost worked.
Yeah. I have to wait for the,
for
my harvest.
Oh yeah. No, but it's just something I heard in the other room. And I was like, wow, look at that. Three people splitting the check. And that's the way it's probably supposed to work. And I just don't realize it all the time. Usually I never pay attention to what someone else is doing.
At the worst case, if it either one guy picks it up or you split it three ways or whatever, or here's what I hate. I've seen people, you go to dinner with 6, 7, 8, 9 people, whatever it is, and they want to itemize out.
Oh, I won't vote that person. They're done.
It's crazy.
If you ever want to go to dinner with me, I'm probably going to buy the meal. But if there's some situation like that where you say, I didn't have this, I had that, you're finished, my friend. There's no more meals with the K-Man. I'm not trying to brag or anything.
Right.
I'm not going to be around no nits. N-I-T. I'm not going to be around no nits.
I'm with you.
Start breaking things up and saying, you know, he had a glass of wine, I had a Diet Coke.
Right, right.
It's not happening. What?
Yeah. And I always get the short end of that stick because I don't drink.
Yeah.
So whatever, you know, on the dividing by whatever, but it is what it is. You're paying for the
event. I just pay for it. I don't consider it like that. Yeah. Even if you get bottles of wine or something, I don't care.
Right.
That's another thing too. I was told one time, oh boy, I'm really getting into it here. I go to the Palm, which I love the Palm Steakhouse over at the Forum Shops. And, the people I was with had two bottles of wine and I fought over this check. I fought to get the check. And so I get the check. It's like $800, $900. And, the guy says to me, oh, don't tip on the wine. You just tip on the meal. So the wine's 400. You just tip on the 500. So I'm paying the check. And now you're going to tell me how to tip, you know, plus there's a big thing about this. You can't tell me not to do that. These are my guys. I know these waiters. I come in here. I'm a regular here. You're from, you know, Philadelphia. You don't come in. You just come in. These are my guys. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to tip on the wine too. It's just the way it's going to work. Rest, you know,
anyway, I've never heard that before. Thing?
Yeah, don't tip on the wine or you tip less on the wine. And
I've never heard that.
Again, I'm not really, you're like me. We don't drink, so I really don't. But I know that I'm not going to get a $900 bill and start separating it in half and not tip and only tip on half the bill. So,
yeah. Anyway. Well, Crack, we've got a great show lined up today. We should tease the guest right now for everybody. We had the Beast from the Beauty and the Beast podcast a couple months ago. And today we've got the Beauty joining us. We have Kendra Lust a little later in the show. And summer's right around the corner here in Vegas, and it's starting to heat up. Things heated up with the NFL draft for Crack Wins users, that's for sure. You were on fire with the draft.
Yeah, well, let's first start about yesterday you and I talked about, and just in case the people don't know, the Wynn and the Venetian are taking down the glass partitions between the games. That's happening. I've seen at the poker tables there. So things are starting to change here in Vegas for sure, trying to get back to a sense of normality. But you know what? We have to realize that this is still happening out there. It's not this COVID is not over. I actually know somebody whose brother who actually had the COVID and actually died from it just recently, just this past week. And shockingly, he had both shots. So
he had both shots last night. That was a little,
it almost put me in check. I don't know. I don't really watch the news. So I thought if you had your shots here, I wasn't realizing 5 to 7% or whatever the percentages are, you could still die of this.
Right.
So it's still out there. So, of course, people don't want to think that when they come over here and they just want to party and stuff, and still got to do it safe. Still got to be safe. Yeah. Just follow the guidelines, I guess. The guidelines right now are to take those glass down and get back to the sense of normality. So we'll see what happens here. But
yeah,
going over to the draft. Yeah, the draft was absolutely great for me. So I went 7-3. Matter of fact, even two of my late three losses, which came late at night, on the first night, they were very hard to get down on. The original losses were the top 20 guys. They like literally swept the board. But the later ones that, again, were a little bit hard to get down. I sent them out late on draft day, right? Like an hour before they got taken off the board, like the 25th, 26th, 28th picks. A little bit harder to find too. So I think my guys did really well. And if they followed, my percentage wise and stuff, they definitely won about 9.5 units. So it was fun. It was a good. It's all about information. It's all about, it's funny. The information I had on those two of the last three losers there that I had, the first seven didn't come from anything but research, media, following beat reporters, looking at social media was real big. Social media. The last ones really. I could have lost a ton of money on, because the source it came from was an agent who was a big agent in football. And he went on something and talked about how he didn't think this was going to happen. And he felt that, these players were going to go in the second round, not in the first round. So I actually bet the over on them, and two of the three went under. So he went 1-2, but I'll tell you, I'm really happy. I was really excited. The under on Kyle Pitts, which I bet under 5.5, from even money to laying like a $1.40, $1.50, it went to like -350, even 4-1. I seen down at Circa for a while. So I got the best of the lines. And when you get the best of the closing line, in the end, you're going to get the best of the money. And sure enough, that played out in this draft, just like it has the last two drafts. Crack wins on fire with a lot of things, especially the draft.
That is awesome, man. And what do you make of Aaron Rodgers has been in the news a lot this week. Sounds like he maybe wants out of Green Bay. What do you see happening there? Have you heard anything?
Yeah, last year during the draft, I remember, I think Aaron Rodgers was very surprised, as was a lot of people, including Green Bay fans, that they went with a quarterback in the first round of the draft. And it was kind of like, really? We got Aaron Rodgers. He's young, or he's still young enough to play. He's healthy. We figured we'd have the next couple of years, 3, 4, 5 years. And here they are picking a quarterback. I think it was a little bit of a blow to Aaron Rodgers, them not letting him know. And I think he's probably had a little bit of a he's probably a little upset ever since that time. And what's good? Now the fans are against them. The fans are funny, aren't they?
Yeah,
the fans are against them now.
So they turn on you quick.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Let me ask you this: will you kind of speculate as to if he is going to leave, where he could end up, and will you try to put down something on some futures? Teams.
If we get the inside word or where he's leaning to go, or if we hear something in a report or a reporter or socials, yeah, we'll try to grab a team like. Like I know somebody did with Tampa Bay that before he went to Brady went to Tampa, they got him and he made a giant six-figure score on that. So yeah, sure. I'd like to do that.
I was convinced, I didn't tell you this last year, I was convinced Tom Brady was coming to the Raiders because he's pretty good friends with Dana White. And I know that he, Tom bought a house here. And so I was like, oh man, Tom Brady is coming to the Raiders. It's going to be their first year. You know, this is obviously pre-COVID and everything, right? So I'm like, first year of the Raiders being here in Vegas, brand new stadium. They spent like $1 billion or whatever. He's definitely coming. I had myself convinced. So I made a huge bet. Raiders to win the Super Bowl.
No, I mean, who knows? Rodgers may come here. You know, I don't mean to down Derek Carr. I mean, Derek Carr bought a house right next to Coach Gruden and stuff. So, but I just don't know if Carr is the future of the franchise. So,
yeah, agreed. All right. As much as I don't want to, I've been getting punished in the DMs, so I'm going to have to take my lumps here. We're going to have to talk a little baseball, specifically the Dodgers. Yeah, it's been a rough couple weeks. Crack.
Yep. Your 120 win total is probably not going to happen.
I don't know if 100 wins is going to happen at this point.
What did they lose? Like 10 out of 13 or something? Or
they've lost 12 out of 16.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that's after opening at I think maybe 11-3 or something. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. No. They definitely have fallen from grace a little bit, but they're still, if not the best team, they're one of the two best teams in baseball, and probably still the best lineup and man for man in baseball. They're just going through a little funk right now.
Yeah. In our defense, we don't have Cody Bellinger. That's a big person not to have.
Yeah,
for sure. And they keep putting Kenley Jansen into close games, which is probably a mistake. I've been saying it for 4 years now. Maybe someone will listen up there in the executive offices at some point. But even without Kenley, I can't blame it all on Kenley. They're just not hitting timely hitting. They're just they're in the game and then bullpen blows it, or it's just really been frustrating to watch. I don't know if you've even subjected yourself to any of it. Probably a little bit.
When I was back east, I was watching some of the night games. So my buddy had the package. We were watching all the San Diego Dodger games. I think they'll be all right. Listen, I actually bet them to win the World Series. I found a really good price, which I thought was a really good price, plus 3.5 to 1. This was after they were like 10-3. And,
that's amazing.
And now they're, you can still get plus 3 to 1, but I don't recommend betting them now. Definitely not.
They haven't gone up a little bit, even with this skid?
No, they really haven't. People know they're the Dodgers.
So. Right.
Yeah.
The cream will rise to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And this weekend, there's a big UFC card. Well, wait, before we get to this weekend, actually, this week, there's a big Bellator card. But before we get to that, I got baseball wrong for the last 2 weeks. But what I did get right, crack, maybe the producers might even want to cue this up just for historic purposes. I did tell you last week to bet the house on Giga Chikadze. And I even said round one, and he did exactly that. He knocked out Cub Swanson with what we call the Giga kick, which is a kick to the liver, round one, and it was game, set, match. Giga won his sixth UFC fight in a row. Shout out to Giga.
The only problem with that is, though, you have said bet the house on a lot of things. This would have been at least this would have been at least the seventh or eighth house that was a bankruptcy foreclosure that we have to get. So we got one of the houses back. It's like playing Monopoly.
Yeah. Fair enough. That's a good point. I didn't even have a house to bet with due to prior losses. Bet the tent on Giga. Right. I'll give you my pick for this weekend's Bellator fight when we are joined by Kendra Lust. We have a mutual friend who's fighting in Bellator this Friday. But let's take a moment and let me just tell everybody to download the Crack Wins app. The Crack Wins app is available, obviously, on Apple, it's on Google, or just go to crackwins.com. He's been on fire. Like the man said, he was 7-3 on the draft. Who goes 7-3 on a draft? Do you know how hard that is? I don't even know if you're getting the proper respect for that. And I also don't know if people actually see the value of 7-3. Like, you know what I mean? People, this myth of having to be undefeated, I think it's in everybody's head.
Yeah,
and they don't acknowledge that 7-3 is the win column, especially on those kind of bets, right?
I look at the end of how many units you won for actually the year. I'm not one of those guys that tell you what I've done lately. I mean, I can go on and say, okay, last week, and I did. I won like 13 units last weekend. I don't talk like that. I want to know what I've done. What's Bill Krakenberger done the last quarter? What's Bill Krakenberger done the last year? What I have done? I've buried bookmakers. They've been under the bed hiding on Monday morning when it comes time to pay. That's just what I've been doing for my whole life, though, for, you know, upwards of 30 years. It's a matter of all the teamwork we have. I have a great team behind me, and you know, we do a lot of research, a lot of work, and the work's there for the customer, and we have absolutely destroyed over the years, every sport, but college basketball, we were over 60% this year. Baseball's on fire. Now NBA, we had FCS winner last week, come back from a bad week in the FCS, had a nice recovery. The draft, like I said, we're having a really good year again, and I look forward to continuing this streak. We're having a nice, even this week, we had a nice undefeated day yesterday, so look forward to some more stuff, giving out winners to the people.
And what I love about you, Crack, is you're actually betting as well. There's a lot of guys, I won't mention them, but there's a lot of guys that they don't even bet. They just sell picks, and they have really no vested interest in even the picks that they're giving out. And that's not the case with you. You're
great point, John.
Give out. You're great actually point. Betting on.
John, I can't name anyone, and I challenge anyone else in this industry to bet what I bet on games that I release, because it just – you know, this is, I don't know why I have this ticket still laying here, but yeah, I mean, this is a loser though, but it was during March Madness. This is a $5,000 ticket. I mean, no one bets. People, you know what the average bet is of some of these guys that are giving out games and telling you to bet your money on it? They bet like $50, $100 bucks. And listen, it's all relative. I don't say that there's not winners doing that. Sure. I'm just saying, you know, if you have the balls, you have the balls to say this to people and tell them to bet their hard-earned money, bet it yourself too. Give me a break.
Come on. I'll tell you something else. If you have the balls to flash a $5,000 loser ticket like you just did, mad respect for that. So listen, guys, get in the win column, join Crack, crackwins.com, or download the app on Google or on the iPhone in the App Store. And that brings me to my next fantastic plug, which is WSN.com. You turned me on to it. Listened to WSN.com, I probably would have had the Kentucky Derby winner last Saturday, but I went rogue based on everything that I read. I went the other way and screwed it up, but they've got some great info on there about all sports. I am particularly into the horse racing coverage that they've had because they've got some really great articles on it. But share your thoughts with WSN.com. I know you're a fan.
Great stuff again this week. I'm on here right now looking unbelievable articles every single week. I don't know of any other site that has articles like this. So I like going to the U.S. sports betting news, like to keep up on that stuff. But there's new stuff, fresh stuff up there every day. Just looking here from May 4th on, there's 9 new articles in the last 24 hours. But I also, of course, I always say, you know, the reason why I'm going to say this, John, I have some friends back east in Jersey that I said, listen, if you want to go to join some new sports books in Jersey, go to WSN.com, click on bonuses. It shows you every state, New Jersey, Illinois, Colorado, Pennsylvania, so forth. And then they pop up there, the bonuses. And I got them to actually sign up for some of the ones in New Jersey. I just clicked on Jersey, pop right up, $500 risk-free bet at William Hill, $1,000 sports deposit bonus at DraftKings. That's just a bonus, cash bonus added to your account. $500 in bet credits at Bet365. That's a real bet. $600 MGM risk-free bet. How about this? Points bet, $1,000. Unibet, $250. 888-500. There's still another 6 or 7 of them. I'll just tell you. Listen, I am a little bit of, I'll call it right, I'm a little bit of a bonus whore. So I love getting these free bonuses. I'm also going to play. I'm not just going to go in there. There's rollover requirements. They're not going to just give you the money. But here in Vegas, nobody gives you a free head start like this. So stick to WSN. Look at the bonuses in your jurisdiction. I use it all the time and recommend it all the time.
Fantastic. Okay, Crack, it's that time. We've teased the audience long enough. I know everyone's been anxiously awaiting for Kendra Lust, and we sat down with her a little earlier, and here's what she had to say. All right, Crack, it's that time. We've teased the audience long enough for weeks for this one. Weeks. The Wisecracks audience has been waiting the arrival of the... We had the beast of Beauty and the Beast on a month or two ago. And okay. Now we are graced with the beauty. Miss Kendra Lust joins us today. Hi, Kendra.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Thanks. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. I'm excited.
We are equally as we're definitely more excited to have you than you are to be on here with us, but that's okay.
Yeah, we're good.
So, Kendra, let's get right to it. We've had some good weeks of cheering friends on.
Yes.
In the MMA world, obviously Julian Marquez has strung together two really nice wins. Your podcast buddy. And this Friday, we've got over in Bellator, Juan Archuleta will defend the belt against Sergio Pettis. How are you feeling about this?
For me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I never bet against my friends. However, I think Juan's overall skills are better than Pettis's. And, you know, I like the Pettis brothers. You know, I think they're very talented. But I'm not betting against Juan. His cardio is unparalleled to anybody in UFC or Bellator. I mean, this guy never stops. It's insane how hard he trains. And, you know, a couple of people who had left the team that they were on before and went over to Juan's team had said, like, their training is insane, even their sparring sessions. So he's conditioned as always. He stays in shape. He treats his body like a temple, which it is. And I'm looking forward to, I mean, I don't know if it's going to go the, you know, all rounds, but I see definitely Juan with the win.
100% agree with you. I actually ran into Juan a couple days ago here in Vegas. Oh, I was at lunch and and I saw him and he looks phenomenal. He looks like he's in great shape. You know, this is a big sports betting show, Kendra, and Bill Krakenberger here can't stand when I do this, but I did it a few months ago with Julian. I said, bet the house on Julian. I did it last week with Giga Chikadze. I said, bet the house on a round one finish, and I'm going to do it again right here on the show and tell you Juan Archuleta gets it done in one. You heard it here. Official prediction. Crack. Take it away, Crack. What do you think of my insanity?
You ran into one guy and you see the one guy in great condition and the other guy is probably in great condition too. But, you know, Kendra, he likes to use words like lock and bet the house. And if that was to happen, he would have been in many homeless shelters by now.
Yes.
But, he used those words. We have fun with it. But so, Kendra, you have been one of the most well-known performers in the adult industry for years. And now you've made the successful transition into other fields. Was that a difficult transition to make when you were so well-known in one field and then, you know, working so hard to get respect in another industry?
Well, I'm still, thank you for that. You know, as far as adult, I appreciate that. As far as this industry, I have a lot of homework to do. I have a lot of, not that I need to change people's minds, but there's still so much to do. So it's a work in progress and I'm okay with that. You know, just like anything else, when you're new at something, you need to really take your time and understand, you know, the sport and the things that go along with it. So I'm fine with that. It's just more, I don't want to say it's a hobby, but I'm passionate about it. And I like the challenge. So, and I don't mind homework. I'm a lifelong student. So yeah, so I'm ready.
Good for you. Yeah, good for you. And you know the lingo. I just heard it in you when John asked about the previous fight. You got right into it. So I think you're doing a great job. Fantastic.
Thanks.
Yeah, and Bill, you should see, I see her. You know, we both follow. There's a couple different Instagram pages that if you're a fan of MMA, you follow, like Ariel Helwani or MMA Junkie, whatever. And I will see Kendra going back and forth with other fans. And she knows what she's talking about and they give her the respect. Like Kendra, they talk to you like one of the guys talking about these fights most of the time that I see, like, you know, they even want to hear your opinion. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's I don't public speak well. So it is what it is. I'm not, you know, knocking myself, but I just know what I need to work on. So for me, I kind of like behind the scenes and where I can kind of go back and forth and not actually have to debate about it. I'm more of like a lover, not a fighter. That's why I think I'm a really good spectator. And but I enjoy it nonetheless. And I have really been really more serious than ever. I'm probably like annoying everyone in the house because they're like this. Ugh. Like, here she goes again. I'm walking around with listening to podcasts and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, so. That's good though. And you know, it's just for everyone out there. It's on Twitter. I'm a big Twitter guy. At Kendra Lust is her Twitter handle. Me and my big 32,000 followers, you have 1.2 million. And you have a little bit more now that I just followed you here. So just for everyone to know. And are you handle your Twitter page? Is that you?
I do as much of it as I can. That's good. For sure. Absolutely. It's sometimes, you know, you feel you can't reach everything or I'm less active one day on one platform versus another, but, you know, good. Try to like stay on top of what's trending and awesome. What's happening. Mm-hmm. And some big fights this weekend, even in the boxing world, which I really love. Boxing was kind of my first, dive into like combat sports. So I'm excited to see Canelo.
Canelo for Philly Joe Saunders.
He is going to, absolutely. He's going to win. People say because he's up against, you know, a southpaw that he's, you know, struggled before with Lara, with Trout, and there was one other one. But, you know, he's a different fighter than he was 45 years ago. So that's what they don't understand. And then, you know, Billy Joe Saunders is trying to back out. So that makes me think like there's, you know, the fight's happening, but what's going on with him, you know?
Yep.
So.
And we're a sports betting show. That, just to let you know, that fight opened up a 5-1 favorite and is now hovering around an 8-1 favorite. We all know that Canelo is supposed to win and he probably should be that much of a favorite. I mean, whenever there's someone, he got like a $300 million contract and this is only his fourth fight of the contract, I believe.
Yeah.
So they're not going to ruin that by anything. And so that should be fun, but thanks.
Kendra, do you ever bet on the fights?
I do. You know, I do. Mm. I mean, I'm not like an avid, you know, gambler per se. You know, I took my mom to the casino. I mean, we lost $500. I was like, I'm good. Like, I don't want to lose any more than that. But
good for you.
But yeah, just because I feel like, you know, there's a reason all these casinos stay in business. You know, they're making money off of us. You know, but I have had some luck, you know, gambling. And my guy more so, you know, he hit a parlay last weekend and he bets more than I do. So, and I trust in him, like he's really good at it. So he's won some cash. So I'm happy for him. Like, you know, he's good.
Excellent.
Nice. Now let me ask you, we early on Instagram, you were kind enough to repost my, my Instagram, where I was asking for the audience to give some questions. I got a couple. One of them was they want to know if you would name the top five smartest or even sexiest MMA fighters, regardless of gender. Who's your top five, either smartest or sexiest?
Oh gosh. Okay. So, all right. So MMA strictly, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You're on the spot. Putting you on the spot. One. Yeah.
That's okay. Like I would say, Usman is a very, very, I can't do, they have to be both or can they be one or the other?
Pick one or the other is okay.
Because I feel like some are just really, they have a really good, like, a high fight IQ, but I don't find them attractive, you know?
Okay.
I would say Adesanya, he's a very calculated, strategic fighter, you know, unfortunately, you know, he lost, you know, but I give him props for trying to, you know, move up and, you know, whatever it is, what it is, but I mean, he'll be back. Definitely a smart fighter. Oh gosh, it's so hard. I'm going to go with a couple sexy ladies. Like I love Miesha Tate and I'll be in Vegas for that July 17th. Cannot wait for that. She's sexy and she's smart. So maybe she should be my number one. Jesus. There's just so many. Like
many for you to choose from.
I know.
Yeah, it's tough to answer this. You don't want to put no one. Maybe even you can mention a boxer. Sure, why not?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm a Canelo fan just because you know, he's holds multiple titles in I think it's four weight. He's champ in like four different weight classes. So it's like That's incredible, you know, and I just, he is smart. He is he's so talented, and he's really, I feel like, improved his game. He's so great at when he's hit at, you know, his combinations, you know, and he's he's incredible.
He's a much smarter fighter now too than when he first took on that, you know, they threw Mayweather at him right in the beginning of, not the beginning of his career,
early.
But I think that would be a much better fight today if that ever happened again. That's for sure.
I agree. I mean, you got to give Mayweather props. I mean, he is undefeated for a reason.
Smart fighter.
Absolutely. Yeah. His fighting style is unique, fast. I mean, but you know, I think Canelo now, he comes at you, you know, he definitely moves, but he doesn't bounce around. He's very smooth. You know, he's powerful. He's, like I said, he counters not with just one punch, but it's two and three. So he comes at you with such power and just, I don't know. He's incredible. You know, I think he lands, I want to say 40 punches around. Okay. Which is, I think, maybe a little less than in his younger years, but I think the accuracy is much better and he's much better defending than he was years ago. So, you know, I just, overall, he's incredible. So yeah, cool. I like him a lot.
Cool. You know, I'm going to ask you this because I'm an old school East Coast guy, and I'm also a type of guy that's very genuine. I try to give back as much as I can to people, community, whatever it may be. Awesome. So one of the things I loved learning about you in preparation for the show is that you take a real interest in giving back to the community. So tell our listeners some of the things you were also involved in.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't really, you know, I rarely really, I guess, post about a lot of the things that I do. And, you know, the reasons when I do post is because, you know, maybe the amount of money or the amount of support is more than just one person can give, you know? Sure. So for me, it's not just necessarily one particular cause. If somebody sends me something and I'm touched by it, or if I can help, if it's a friend, you know, it doesn't have to be some big, huge organization. You know, I think it's just little random acts of kindness, you know, and I don't necessarily need to like, you know, advertise or post all those things. So for me, it's just, I don't know, if it touches me and I feel like it can help make a difference or a change.
Good. Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know or don't remember where they come from. So that's good. Yeah. You do. Fantastic. Good job.
Thanks.
That's awesome. Kendra, I got another question. Of course, you know, I got so many questions. I could only read a handful of them on the air. So this one's pretty tame. This one comes from official_boy_mg_123. He says, please ask Kendra Lust when the new adult movie is coming.
Yeah, well, I won't be shooting for any companies professionally anymore, just because, you know, I just don't want to do anything for anyone else. I want to do things on my own terms. So I do have some things that I did shoot with. I have a production crew in Vegas, and that production, so I shot some things just recently. I did some custom stuff, but I have some scenes that I'll be shooting June 21st through the 25th, but they're going to come to Detroit. So I'm going to bring talent out here, which will be nice. So it's kind of nice to do things in your hometown. I mean, really, people don't like Michigan. I get it. It's cold, but they're coming out like during the nice times. So so we will do some cool scenarios. So I love when people email me like ideas or who they like to see me with, you know, because the cinematography that my crew can do, you know, is just as good as some of these, you know, I don't know if we would go as crazy as like some of these other companies. I think they go really all out there, but we can get the job done. Absolutely. Like Brazzers quality, you know, it all depends, you know, so.
Yeah. And to that point, the money has changed for you guys, for you performers, right? Like, I feel like now you actually finally get what you're worth, where maybe because of like sites like OnlyFans and stuff or platforms where you can put up, you know, exclusive content and you don't really need that middleman anymore. Right. So, I mean, I feel like you're finally getting the proper reward for the work that you do. Right. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would 100%, you know, I thought about that. I was actually in LA not too long ago with the agreement that I was going to do this feature. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do a feature with, you know, whatever. And then I really thought about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just not passionate about creating. I mean, I know the fans would like it, but if I can give them, you know, something very similar on my own platform, I might as well do that. And at least, you know, reap all of the benefits and do it, you know, make it into maybe a few days opposed to like a 12 or 16 hour day. So I kind of like just having the autonomy to do what I want to do. And yeah. And then it's like, I feel like they sell all your stuff all over. You feel it's for one site and you see it everywhere else. And it just, you feel like you kind of feel cheated. So yeah, I'm not really wanting to do, I don't want to bash. I mean, it survived and sustained for so long because of, you know, the way they were doing things. But I think the internet and, you know, things just have changed. So you have to roll with the punches or you could kind of get left. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.
Bill, it's amazing to me, like, you know, how you can put in your head what you would think someone like Kendra Lust is going to be like, you know, stereotype, you know, you make these assumptions and stuff. And yeah, just, she's so down to earth. I mean, I slid into your DM, I think probably 2 years ago. Yeah. It's crazy to think, the guys were asking me before we started, you know, how long have you known Kendra? And I said, actually, I've never met Kendra in person,
yeah,
which is crazy, but I feel like I know you. And that's a true testament to what kind of person you are, that you're just so down to earth. I mean, we have a lot of friends in common, but even you didn't know that when you first responded to me. And, you know, and thank you for that. And it's really cool that, you know, you can talk to girls like this and they are so down to earth. Your thoughts, Bill Krakenberger.
Yeah, I want to know what you think. Hey, look, just think of this. Now, we're filming this the night before. This will be on my Twitter and everyone's Twitter tomorrow. Just think about how nice this lady is to come on here at almost midnight to do this with us. I mean, says a lot. It says a lot about you and your character, and we really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I just felt so bad, and I was like, John, like, well, because I was in Vegas for a few days. I was so grateful to. It's a long story short. I was in Miami for this hosting type event back in February, and then I networked a little bit, met a few people, and it ended up working out where I had an opportunity in Vegas. And I was like, okay, I have a day and a half to like get myself together. Nails are like, you know, 4 days before I need to get them done, hair. But I'm like, you know what? Like if I pass up the opportunity, then, you know, you never know. So it was a good thing. There's a point to my story, but when you were trying, yeah, there it is. When you were trying to ask me about the show, I was just kind of like being pulled in all these directions, and just then the people working on my house and then my trees in the backyard, they're not happy right now because they need a little bit more water, I think. So people coming out. So it's just been like chaos, but that's life, you know, it's all good stuff.
Yeah. And Bill, when she says, when I was trying to talk to her about the show, what she really means to say is when John Orlando was stalking me on Instagram with a barrage of DMs, his relentlessness, I had to say yes just to get him to go away.
No, I just felt so bad. I'm like, I hate leaving people hanging sometimes.
And then
I have intentions of like getting back to them. And then I'm just like, sometimes I feel overwhelmed and I'm just like, I just can't, you know, I just need a day. Yeah. I need to breathe, you know, but I think that's with everyone, you know, everyone's got stuff. It's all relative to your situation. You know, my life really is no busier than, like a stay-at-home mom that has kids and that, you know, dinner and homework. And like, it's just, we're all a different kind of busy, right?
Yep.
So before we let you go, one other question I had is someone wanted to know, what is a typical Friday night for Kendra Lust?
Ah, that's so okay. Well, I'm kind of nervous.
What's your life like on a normal Friday night?
You know, in all honesty, I'll tell you what this Friday night is about. You know, Fridays, well, when life was open a little bit more here in Michigan, it's not so much, but Friday, my little one has jujitsu. A lot of times my guy will take her, but our sessions are like back to back. So she can kind of like laugh and make fun of me because she's way better, but that's fine. You know, I'm good sport. It's fine. It's good. So it's like jujitsu. And then we'll usually do like a carry out. It's just kind of like a chill night. We may have friends over, you know, in the neighborhood, and just kind of hang out because the kids play. So it's, you know, that whatever, or we'll have like a night out. So it might be like date night. And then Saturday is generally reserved for we don't leave the house. Everybody knows it's fight night. We kind of order out Friday and Saturday, and then whoever wants to come hang out, you know, at kids play, gets crazy. Like, we just have a good time, you know, watch the fights. But yeah, Fridays were a little bit more, it was kind of like the night out, you know, but not so much. But I do have a friend coming in from Ohio. So she's driving in Friday afternoon, no, Friday evening. So she's going to hang out here Friday and Saturday. And yeah, so it'll be good. I'll be happy to see her.
Nice. Just a regular girl, crack. Just a regular.
Yeah. I always tell people, like, I'm really not that exciting, you know? I just wish, like, we could be going to, like, you know, more sporting events or like a concert. Like, we really, I think, or at least maybe I took things for granted, you know, it's like, but then again, I don't mind being home sometime. I'm wrapped up in this. I don't know if it's Amazon Prime or Netflix, but it's called Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton. Ah, love
really?
It.
Okay.
Oh, my God, so good.
I need a new show to watch. Good.
I'm telling Goliath. You.
Really?
It is good. Ooh. And I love him anyway because
he's great.
I like raw, he's, you know, great. So I like him.
Cool.
Goliath.
All right. Well, we're going to check it out. And thank you for stopping by and talking to us. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm going to go blow dry my hair.
All right. Thank you, Kendra.
Okay. Bye, guys.
See ya. Wow, crack. Another week, another fantastic guest. We keep topping ourselves.
Yes. Great. Great. Absolutely.
Well, I hate to cut it short now, crack, but our show has ended this week. But the good news is you get to see me again next week, crack.
That's right. That's right. Well, yeah, everyone, you know, enjoy the warm weather. Vegas is really heating up. 85 and sunny every day. The wind stopped. Looking forward to a nice spring here and getting right into summer here in the next 6 weeks.
All right. Sounds good, my friend. I will see you next week, and we will see all of you watching next week on Wisecracks.